Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the exorcism of Cindy Sauer. Cindy Sauer appeared to be enjoying a good life. She was married to a loving husband, was the mother of three girls. A far cry from the title of the book that would later depict the following years of her life, The Exorcism of Cindy Sauer. Then things suddenly took a turn for the worst. In 2009, her husband took his own life very unexpectedly. She was overcome with grief, and as many would fall into depression. It was at this time that unexplained events began occurring around her home. She very quickly concluded that these may be paranormal in nature, possibly even her deceased husband attempting to leave a message. This assumption very quickly changed as things went from paranormal to sinister and possibly demonic. She suffered horrific nightmares, terrifying images presenting themselves night after night, depicting unspeakable atrocities. And then the haunting went from an external battle to an internal war that would require an exorcism. The exorcism of Cindy Sauer was one that did not end in one cleansing. The internal battle would continue for a time to come and would never permanently go away. On today's episode of The Grave Talks, we hear the personal story of the exorcism of Cindy Sauer from the woman herself, Cindy Sauer.
When I was a kid, the first interaction with anything paranormal that I can recall was when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I was sleeping in my bed. My sister and I, we shared a bed at the time. She woke me up and asked me if I saw what she saw. She was really afraid. She was upset. She pointed to the foot of the bed, and there was a chair facing the foot of the bed. It happened to be my great-grandmother's chair that she had for years. She had passed away a few months earlier, and we saw her sitting in that chair. She had the dress on that she was buried in, and she had a glow. It was almost a green sort of luminescent glow that was just around her, almost an aura. And that was my first experience that I can recall vividly. Anything paranormal.
What was going through your mind as a little kid when you saw your grandma there? Just what exactly was the flow of reasoning for this happening?
It was absolute terror. When you're that young, you're trying to reconcile this. You know that she has passed away. You were at the funeral. Everything is done, and everybody's still sad. And then here she is sitting there, and I didn't really understand, the concept of ghost or spirit at that time. So I was confused, but at the same time, I was just terrified. We were both scared to death. I'm not sure if I really knew how to, how to take it in and how to accept what was going on. But I remember we just threw the covers over our heads and we stayed there until we fell asleep. And then the next morning we woke up and we're like, we did see this. We saw this, and we told our grandmother and our mom, and they actually believed us. They didn't poo-poo us or say, no, you didn't see this, it was a dream. They really did take it in, and they were, pretty supportive about it. So it was a pretty interesting experience, especially to be at such a young age.
When you share this experience with your family members, obviously it was nice to have someone to share it with, I guess. So it wasn't just a one person thing, and it could be poo-pooed as, oh, you just, had a bad dream. Did they give any support of, well, I've had similar experiences too, honey? Or was it not? It sounds like they were accepting of something happened, but was there any relating that occurred at that point?
There actually was. My mother, and this sort of, I guess it runs in the family, this I guess, intuitiveness or connection with things like this. My mother had relayed to us a dream that she had had, and I'm not sure, I don't remember the specifics about the dream, but she had a dream, and she was pregnant at the time, but she had a dream about my grandmother as well, my great-grandmother. So she described, you know, her being there and wanting to see the baby, I guess, that she was about to have. So it was pretty interesting that she did relay that. So it wasn't, the whole situation wasn't something that was just exclusive to my sister and myself. And it was good to be able to experience that with someone, because then you're not questioning yourself. Even at a young age, you could be like, well, you know, did I make this up or did I dream it? But knowing that there was, you know, evidence, you know, for us that we had experienced it and that other people experienced things, you know, it was a little bit comforting and kind of helped us wrap our minds around it. And it became something that was kind of normal for us, you know, the paranormal. And back then it wasn't the paranormal. I don't think we had a name for it. It was just something that we all were comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And that was a part of our lives. So, you know, there were different things that happened throughout, but that first experience is one that really stands out in my mind.
After you had that experience, did she ever come back again? Did you ever sense her or see her again as vividly as you did that day?
No, we did not. I didn't personally. I that was my only experience with her. And after that, I think everybody sort of, you know, was able to move forward. And that was it as far as my great-grandmother goes. I guess it was her way of maybe saying goodbye. Mm-hmm. And it was a comforting thing. You know, even though we were scared, obviously, it still wasn't, it didn't feel bad. It felt very benevolent, the situation, especially now being an adult and looking back on it. You know, I know it wasn't anything threatening. And so it gives you a sense of comfort now to know that she was just there to maybe watch over us and say goodbye.
Moving forward into your childhood a little bit, you'd mentioned that there were other paranormal encounters, not necessarily with her, but other things that happened that made it not just such a one-time experience with something from the other side. What were some of those other experiences that you had growing up?
Well, it sort of took a little bit of a darker turn at a certain point, and things, you know, weren't necessarily as, you know, as non-threatening. There was one experience I had when my sister and I were in the bed, which again, it seems like a theme, that we were being a little bit noisy. Yeah, I think at this time I was probably around 8. We were being very noisy. So my dad would come in the room when we were being noisy and he would close the door, which left us in pitch darkness. So we were, you know, doing our thing. And he came in and he says, okay, I'm closing the door. You guys are being too loud. And he shuts the door. And we're still kind of giggling and, you know, having fun and doing, you know, just being girls. And I turn over on my right side away from her to try to go to sleep. And she's laying on her back behind me. And the door is, you know, over on the other side of her. So she's between the door and myself. And I was laying there. I wanted to turn around and tell her something really quickly, even though it was dark. You know, I turned to tell her something that I had thought about. And when I did and turned over, it was not her. Her face had this, again, this kind of weird glow. I mean, I could see her face, even though it was dark. It had completely changed and stretched, and it wasn't anything good. It was, for lack of a better word, it looked like a monster. Mm-hmm. It was distorted and wrinkled, and there was this snarl, and the eyes were, you know, kind of slitted. It was frightening. It was terrible. And I started to just scream at that point. I screamed and, you know, just went nuts. My dad came in the room. My sister's shaking me, wondering what's going on. And I look at her, and she's okay. Everything's fine. But that was one of the next experiences that really, really stuck with me. Years later, a friend of ours drew a picture of something that he had seen himself. And when he drew this picture out, it was actually, he was dating my sister at the time. It was the exact face that I had seen on her that night in our room. So kind of followed me throughout time. And that was a teenager when I saw this picture. So that was one of the more frightening experiences that I had.
What do you think was the cause of some of the more frightening experiences when you go beyond your grandma, but when you were having an experience like that with your sister and the fact that that gentleman drew that photo or that picture of something very similar to what you saw, also involving your sister, what do you think the source was? Was it the house? Was it a person? Was it an object? I mean, looking back in hindsight, what is your conclusion on that?
Well, looking back now and knowing some of the history that I've kind of gone through with my family and doing some research and some other things that have happened that we'll get to as well, I really think that it wasn't the house, of course. It was sort of and I don't want to say an ability, but maybe our sensitivity mm-hmm. to things. I guess when there are good things, the bad things can also be attracted. The energy in the house wasn't the best at times for several reasons. And I think that when you're in a situation like that, that there are many things that can play into it to sort of, you know, create these situations. Doing some of the research that I've done on the property, the land itself, there are some indicators that things are a little bit different in this area as far as the land goes. And it being dating back to some pretty ancient, some native connections and also some slave connections. There was a graveyard actually in the yard that was unmarked for the most part. It had some crude headstones made out of rocks and a little bit of carving on it. But after researching, finding out that that was likely a slave burial area that was still in the yard. So, you know, there's that connection to it. And it's when you're looking for answers, you're never going to, you know, you really can't find anything concrete when you're trying to research stuff like this. But I think it's sort of maybe an indicator on why things took a darker turn, with the land and then our history, our family history as well. There are darker things that are, you know, well in the past before I was born as well that I've begun to dig up. So it might just be create this perfect storm for things to happen. And, you know, I'm still searching for answers. So that's sort of where I'm at with that.
Sure. When you were a child, did the family even realize that some of the crude markers in the yard were, in fact, gravestones? Or what was it even looked as?
At first, we did not. But there was a certain time, you know, because there were places where it was sunken in. Mm-hmm. You know, the earth was sunken in pretty deep, and there were these perfect, you know, long areas that were big enough to, you know, to be a coffin. We didn't put two and two together at first. We were digging around in this area because it had grown into a grove of trees at that point. And, you know, digging around and pulling leaves back and looking, and we found this rectangular piece of granite, because in the area it's full of granite. There are a lot of granite outcroppings and actually a couple of big granite structures that are called mountains, that they're so big. So we turned this one piece of granite over, and it actually had engraved on it M-A-M-A. And so that's when we sort of put two and two together, and it was right on top of where one of the holes was. So after doing some research, finding out about the slaves in the area, the blacksmith shop that was over the place where my house was, and the fact that slaves were, you know, slaves' quarters were usually in that area, and they would bury their dead, of course, close by. Sure. So we sort of put two and two together for that.
It's an interesting thing with the gravestones of the slaves. A lot of folks would not even put two and two together of what some of those markings are. I've actually seen some in an antique store once. And I just thought,
really?
That's the worst thing you could possibly sell in an antique store. But I also thought they probably have no idea what that is. And I don't think many would unless they're aware of what they, you know, somewhat historically look like. And there can be variations to them. But I think a lot of times when folks think of gravestones, their image is very much Halloween gravestones
or
things of that nature. And these are very nondescript, oftentimes just initials, and very you know, very, there was no money to do it. People were not, the way that they were treated, the owners weren't going to put the money into it, and they didn't have the resources to do it. So the markers can be very nondescript. Let's move forward a little bit further. As time you got into being a younger adult, still interested in the paranormal, what did you get into at that point as far as investigating or your interest there?
I was absolutely into it. And, you know, everything as a child just fueled, you know, that want to investigate more, to dig more. And, you know, before the internet, I largely went to the library and I read a lot of books. And I was always in that one section where you had the few ghost books and the UFO books and the cryptid books. And I would sit and read these, like, just religiously. It was, yeah, I was very captivated by all of it.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.